We're here in Luke chapter 23, and we're going to get started with the message. And let's pray together again before we get started. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, I just pray that you'd help us today. Lord, we want to use technology and try to reach out to the folks at home that can't be here. And those things are difficult sometimes, but we just pray that as we look into your word today, that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts, that you would work in our lives, and that you would just help us, Father. Thank you for this opportunity, and please bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Luke chapter 23, and I want you to look with me at verse 44. It's an odd thing to not ask you to stand for the reading of God's word to me, because we want to reverence it, so at least sit up straight in your car while we look at this scripture today. In Luke 23, in verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. As we look into the scriptures and we see the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, we see that it was a time filled with darkness. You know, things are really different this Easter season. We don't get to do the things the way that we normally would. The outbreak of the coronavirus has changed a lot in our nation. It's changed a lot in the world. And we're saddened by the loss of life for COVID-19 or anything else. We want to pray for those that are sick. We want to pray for our healthcare workers and all the people that are involved in taking care of the sick. We want to pray for those that are most vulnerable among us. But I just want to remind everybody today that we can't lose sight. We cannot lose sight of who God is and what Christ has done for us. Today, we've got to remember. We've got to think about what Christ has done. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And although we can't celebrate the way that we normally would, we can't forget about this. Now, I know we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. The first day of the week is a time that we come together to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. But I'm so thankful that we have a time set aside every year to remember what Christ has done, to celebrate the resurrection. But I in order for us to understand just how glorious the resurrection is, it's important for us to understand just how terrible his death was, his sacrifice was. And so today, I want us to just get that contrast. You know, contrast is important. Contrast is something that's talked about a lot in photography. It's talked about a lot in art. Contrast is something that's really needful for people who are visually impaired. When somebody's visually impaired, it's important that in your house you have a lot of contrast, that you use things that are very different in color to help them to see and to perceive things rightly. And so that's what I hope to do today. We're going to look at the darkness surrounding Christ's death so that next week when we look at the resurrection, we'll better see the brightness of his resurrection. We'll look at the darkness surrounding his sacrifice so that we'll better see how bright, how glorious, how incredibly wonderful his resurrection really is. So as we look at Jesus dying and hanging on the cross, and when he was there on the cross, the Bible says there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And I want you to know that in the world today, there's darkness. And in the world today, there is overwhelming darkness. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is light and there is hope. So let's pray together one more time as we get into the scriptures today. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, I pray that you would please help. Help us to realize who you are. Help us to understand what Christ went through for us. Help us to understand the darkness that is in the world today, the darkness that can even be in our hearts and minds unless we are filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would bless and help in the preaching of your word and give grace today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you look in your Bibles to John chapter 1 very quickly? John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, or the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I want you to understand that as human beings, we have a danger of having a darkened mind or a darkened understanding, a darkened awareness. In John 1:5, he says that the darkness comprehended it not. When Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, came to the earth, the darkness didn't understand. The darkness didn't comprehend. The darkness wasn't aware of who he was. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, he says that there are those who are without Christ, those who are Gentiles in their mind that have not come to Christ, their understanding is darkened. And so we have to understand that our minds can be darkened. Our minds, our understanding can be darkened. Not only can we have darkened minds, but we can have darkened hearts. Look at Romans chapter 1, if you would please. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Not only can we have a darkened mind, and we know that people's minds can be desperately wicked. We know that people's minds can do terrible things. People's minds can imagine incredibly wicked things. But not only that, our hearts can be darkened. Those who had an opportunity to know God, those who had an opportunity to know his truth, that knew he was the creator, but rejected him because their hearts were evil, their foolish heart was darkened. There are those today who profess themselves to be wise, but they are become fools. They say that there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and they reject him because their heart is darkened. They have chosen to reject the truth. They've chosen to reject the light, and therefore their heart is darkened. So you can have a darkened mind. You can have a darkened heart. And when your heart and mind are darkened, the only thing that can happen is that you will do the works of darkness. You see, when we look in the world and all the terrible things that are happening in the world, the wicked deeds that are done, the darkness that covers the world, it's because people have rejected the truth in their mind, they have refused the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart, and they have become darkened in their heart and mind, therefore their deeds are darkened as well. John chapter 12 and verse 35. John chapter 12, verse 35, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while it is light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. When we consider the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Jesus. He walked in darkness, and he didn't understand where he was going. There are people today who are rejecting God, rejecting truth, and they don't understand where they're going. They continue to walk in darkness. You're familiar with John 3:16? I'm sure everybody could quote it from your car right now, and I wouldn't be able to hear you, but you know John 3:16, you know John 3:17, but if you go down to verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. A lot of people today who deny the very existence of God, they call themselves atheists. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But listen, they don't have a mental problem with God. They say, I believe in science and all those different things. The reality is their problem with God is not a mind problem. Their problem with God is a heart problem. They have rejected truth in their heart. They know they've sinned against God. They don't want to be accountable to God. Therefore, their heart and mind is darkened and their deeds are evil. In Jude, verses 14 and 15, he tells us something that Enoch prophesied. Now, you remember Enoch from the Old Testament, from Genesis. Enoch was a man who walked with God, a man who walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was a man who walked with God, and he pleased God, and God translated him into heaven that he should not see death. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, those wicked people who reject Christ, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all, or to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, in just a second, we're going to walk through much of the account of Jesus's betrayal, his arrest, and all that he went through until he died on the cross for our sins. But I wanted to preface it with all of these truths, that men are wicked in their hearts and minds. They are darkened in their hearts and minds and their deeds. And listen to me, none of us could escape that darkness if it were not for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a darkened heart and mind and did dark and wicked deeds. And every one of us have done those things. And the only thing that makes us right with God, the only thing that gives us light and truth, is the Word of God and faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted you to see darkened minds, darkened hearts, darkened deeds. It all comes from rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, when Jesus went to the cross, it was a time of great darkness. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36, would you just walk with me? Walk with me through these scriptures this morning. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder, go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I want you to know that our Savior was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. If you'd find in your Bibles, hold your place there in Matthew 26, but find Isaiah 53. Find Isaiah 53. Now, Jesus, after he had instituted the Lord's Supper and he had gone out to the garden to pray, he left the disciples, he had Peter and James and John come a little further. He said, you watch while I go a little further and pray. And they couldn't stay awake. They kept going to sleep. But Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. The weight of what Jesus was facing, the weight of the sin of the world, all that he knew was coming at Calvary. Listen, just knowing what had to be done in order for mankind to be saved was heavy on Jesus, and he was sorrowful. In Isaiah 53, I just want you to look at it. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And I want to tell you today, we got to rejoice in what Christ has done for us. We got to understand the darkness that came because Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. And everyone turned their back on him. And you say, oh no, but I chose Jesus. But let me tell you, you refused Jesus before. And you turned away from him before. And you rejected him before. And I thank God that by his grace, you've come to salvation through faith in him. But I want to tell you that he died for us. He paid the price for us, for the sin of the whole world. And we need to understand the darkness that surrounded him, the sorrow that he bore. He went a little further back in our text in verse 39, Matthew 26, 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. We see the darkness surrounding Jesus, the sorrow that overwhelmed his soul. We see the darkness that surrounded Jesus in his aloneness. He went alone to pray. He alone bore that sorrow. He alone because his disciples couldn't even watch with him for 1 hour in prayer. And I wonder how many of us today can't pray for a few minutes, can't study our Bibles for just a little while day by day. And we are no different than those disciples in that day. We continue to leave Jesus alone when he calls us to be with him. He calls us to watch with him. He calls us to walk with him. And I'm telling you today that we don't have to continue in darkness, but we can continue in the light by his grace. In Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53, Luke 22, verse 47, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? In verse 52, it says, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But listen to this, the end of verse 53. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus bore our sorrow. He was alone and he was betrayed by one of his own. He was betrayed by one of his own with a kiss. It was Judas who had been with him, Judas who was the treasurer for the church in the early days. He was the one who carried the money bag, Judas who was one of them and went out with them and proclaimed the same gospel that everyone else proclaimed, and yet he was of a devil. He was one who would reject Jesus. He was one who would betray Jesus. When they came to get Jesus, they came out as against a thief. Now, there's not a person listening to this message today that wouldn't be offended if someone called you a thief. If I just pointed at you and said, you're a thief, you would be offended, you would be upset. But listen to me, you probably have taken something that doesn't belong to you. Most of us are guilty of taking things that don't belong to us. We have been thieves in our behavior because of our darkness of our wicked minds. But Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. He was accused and treated as a thief. There was darkness surrounding his death. The sorrow, he was alone, he was betrayed. And I want you to notice in Matthew 26, in verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus Christ was not only betrayed by Judas, but he was forsaken by all. He was forsaken by all. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. Or none occasion to put him to death. None of the accusations could stick against Jesus. He was falsely accused. At last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. In other words, I am. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Jesus was falsely accused. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was accused of blasphemy when he was, in fact, God in the flesh. I don't know if anybody's ever spit on you. I would imagine all of you have been mocked before. I don't know if any of you have been abused or beaten, but I know that your Savior was spit upon and mocked and beaten for you. They took Jesus and bound him, and they took him away to Pilate. And we pick up in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. Matthew 27 and verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Jesus was spit upon and beaten and mocked by the Jewish council. And then he was condemned, although he was innocent. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man at all. He had examined him. He had tried him. He had gone through everything and find no fault with Jesus. Nothing wrong, but he condemned him anyway. We simply read in our Bibles when he had scourged Jesus. But I want you to understand the scourging that Christ endured is something that many men died from just the scourging. They would strip Jesus down. They would strap him to a post. They would take that cat of nine tails, that whip. Many times they would take the braids of those leather straps and they would put in rock or bone or metal so that as they whipped Jesus, it would tear the flesh from his body. We just read the words and scourged him, but friends, I want you to understand the agony that Jesus endured. He'd already been mocked. He'd already been ridiculed, already been spit upon, and now he is scourged. By his stripes, we are healed. As though it wasn't enough to scourge Jesus, verse 27 says, The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, praetorium, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off of him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. The Old Testament reveals to us that they ripped the hairs from Jesus' face. They plucked the beard from his face. He's been spit upon and mocked by multiple people, beaten over and over again. And so we understand why the Old Testament prophesies that his visage, his face was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. I want you to see the darkness of their hearts and minds. I want you to see the darkness of their deeds. I want you to understand how wicked and how evil they were. And I want you to understand today that were it not for the grace of God, we would still be in that darkness. We would still have those wicked, defiled, and evil hearts and minds. To see a man like Jesus, who never did anything wrong, and to hate him with the passion that they hated him with, you see the darkness. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 33, I want you to think of this verse. Every time you come to this place, this is Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Calvary is not a word that you find much in scriptures. It's here in this verse. But I want you to remember this verse every time you see the church sign, every time you see the name Calvary on anything. It simply says in Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Again, such a simple statement, like they scourged him. But you have to understand what that meant. The same is true here. We just read, they crucified him. I want you to remember when you see the name Calvary, that that's where your Savior died for your sins. Because they'd already beaten him, mocked him multiple times. They'd already scourged him. He was already so weak from the blood loss, he couldn't carry his own cross. But when they got him to the place called Golgotha, they got him to that place called Calvary, they drove the spikes in his hands. They would have taken his feet, most likely, and put one above the other and drove a spike through the ball joint of his ankle. When they drove those spikes through that cross, they would hammer over the point so that it couldn't come back out again. We know the word excruciating. It's what this crucifixion was. It was excruciating. The Romans had managed to perfect a way to cause someone to suffer as long as possible. You know, our Savior came at exactly the right time. Psalm 22 prophesied that they would pierce his hands and feet with nails. That was before the Roman Empire existed, before the method of execution of crucifixion even existed. Jesus decided to come at this time. He had to die. But God wanted us to understand how much he loves us and how much he hates sin. And only through the cross can we see both truths. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39, it says, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, that thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. They mocked Jesus. They reviled him. And I want you to see the wickedness of their heart. There was no softness in their heart. There was nothing in their heart that would see him beaten, bloodied, not even looking like a man anymore, suffering and dying. And that they still mocked him, they still ridiculed him. Friends, that's the hatred and the darkness that surrounded the death of our Savior. Matthew 27:45 says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And down in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. We look at all the physical suffering of Jesus Christ. But the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. There was a moment when he was on the cross that the weight of the sin of all the world was put on Jesus. And I just want you to consider for you personally the sin that you've committed in your life. The lies that you've told, the wicked thoughts that you've had, the wicked deeds that you've done. I want you to consider the weight and the burden of that sin. And just imagine Jesus taking the weight of your sin, but not just yours, but everyone that's here today, everyone that's watching online. He took theirs, and not just ours, but the weight of everyone who's ever lived, everyone who's alive now, everyone who ever will live. Jesus took the weight of that sin on himself. He took it on himself, and the weight of that sin was on him, and the suffering and the sorrow that he endured was far worse than the physical pain. But the spiritual burden that he took on himself that day, and he died, taking the burden of our sin. And in verse 51 it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Now I want you to look at verse 54 in particular. Look at it. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." There was darkness over the land while Jesus was on the cross. There was darkness in the hearts and minds of those who crucified him, those who hated him. There was darkness in the hearts of those that nailed him there. There was darkness in the hearts and minds of those that reviled and mocked him. There's darkness in the heart of every human being born of man. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when you look to the cross of Calvary, when you see the great darkness there, when you see Jesus on the cross saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I pray that it would open up your heart. I pray his spirit would move inside of you. And I pray like the centurion to those that stood by when they watched Jesus, they feared greatly and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I want you to know that he wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet of God. He was the very God himself, robed in human flesh. And he was the one who took the punishment for your sin and mine and the sin of the whole world. He suffered for us. He took our punishment. And only by his stripes can we be healed. Only by Jesus can we be forgiven. And I pray that as you look to Jesus and see what he went through for you, that you would fear greatly and that you would turn away from your sin and you would put your faith in Jesus Christ, and that you would say, as the centurion did, "Truly, this is the Son of God," and that today you would repent. Today you would put your faith in Jesus. Today you would say, "I want to live for the one who died for me, and I want to live for the one who rose again." Phillips Brooks is the man who wrote the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." We know "O Little Town of Bethlehem." We sing it every Christmas time, and for some of us, we sing it starting, you know, in October or so. But he wrote another song that few people know about. I want you to listen to the lyrics of this song. "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. While the patient earth lies walking, waking, till the morning shall be breaking, shuddering neath the burden dread of her master, cold and dead. Hark, she hears the angels say, Christ will rise on Easter Day." The death of Jesus was surrounded with darkness, but the story doesn't end there. I hope today you've seen the contrast to see how dark it was in the day that Jesus died. Because God willing, next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we're going to look back into the scriptures and we're going to see his glorious resurrection. In John chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark." It was yet dark, but the light was coming. The light, the truth, the knowledge of the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. In the midst of all of this pandemic and all of the things going on and the distractions that we have, I pray that you will not lose sight of this Easter season. Maybe we can't get together and do the things like we normally would, but friends, listen. We celebrate the resurrection week by week, but we don't want to lose this special time to remember what Christ did for us in his death and what he did for us and all who believe when he rose again. If there is anything in your heart that's not right with him, anything that's taken you away from living for the one who died for you and rose again, I pray today that you would repent of your sin and unbelief, put your faith in Jesus, cry out to him, and be born again. I pray if you are born again that you would do what God has called you to do. Walk with him. He went through all of that suffering so that you could have a relationship with him. Live in that relationship day by day. Abide in Christ moment by moment. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Christ our Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us the darkness and weight that surrounded our Savior's death, his substitution for us, his sacrifice for us. I pray that as we consider all that you are and have done for us, that it would draw us to you, Lord, that we would love you more and more. And Lord, as we look towards that beautiful resurrection day, as we look to celebrate your victory over death in the grave, I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray for those that are unsaved, Lord, that even now they would repent and put their faith in Jesus. Even now they would pray and ask you to forgive them, ask you to be their Savior, that they would be born again, given the gift of everlasting life, made right before you through Christ. For those who are saved, Lord, help us to walk with you, to walk in the newness of life that you've given us, Lord, to walk in the light of the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please forgive us and help us. We pray for our nation, pray for this world, and pray that many would come to Jesus through this time. Please help us and bless, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.